Ruchim Haboim to our introductory shiur to Masechtas Chulin. A little over 7 years ago, we were zeichet to get a private shiur and live demonstration from a Rav Hagoyen, Rabbi Yisrael Belsky Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of Teirav Das, on the essential components of an animal as it pertains to Shechita, Treifus, and Karbonos. Much of our presentation today is based on that shiur, plus a few other wonderful sources that have become available over the past few years. I would also like to thank Rav Shraga Wachs and Rav Aaron Kahan, two highly respected mumchim in Shechita, for their time and guidance. So, let's begin. While dealing with other topics later in the Masechta, Masechtas Chulin deals primarily with Hilchas Shechita, how to properly shecht or slaughter a kosher animal, and Hilchas Treifus, how to check the animal after it was properly geshachten, because even if a kosher animal was geshachten properly, kahalocha, before it may be eaten, the animal must go through a vigorous bedika to make sure that the animal doesn't have any internal defects that would render it a treifa. In order to gain a clear understanding of these inyanim, knowledge of the internal makeup of an animal is essential. All hilchas shechita and treifas are basically the same for all kosher animals, which include bokor, cattle, tzoin, sheep, and even some chayos, namely deer. For this presentation, we'll be focusing on the parah, the cow. The body of an animal is basically comprised of five major systems: the skeletal system, nervous system, the respiratory system, the circulatory system, and the digestive system. But before we begin, it is important to keep in mind that there are many, many details and intricate halachas that are well beyond the scope of this presentation, and that the purpose of this presentation is to give a comprehensive but simplified overview of the subject, so that when we learn through the Masechta, we're familiar and comfortable with the material. The skeletal system is, of course, the bone structure of the animal, its skeletons. Here we can see how the legs, its hoofs, are split at the bottom and give the animal mafreses parsa, split hoofs, which is one of the two vital simonim that indicates that an animal is kosher. The other simon is that the animal is malagera, which we'll see later, Ezra's Hashem. Taking a close look at the structure of the mouth, we can see how the structure of its teeth are very unusual. Up front, it only has teeth on its lower jaw, its lechi hatachtoin, and then further back, it has a full set of molars, top and bottom teeth. And this is so because all kosher animals live on grass. Initially, while grazing in the field, they scoop the grass out of the ground with their front bottom teeth, and then immediately swallow the grass whole without chewing it. Only later, when the animal is done grazing and lays down to rest, does the cow regurgitate or bring up its partially digested food and chews it with its back teeth, as we'll see mention later in greater detail. The spine of the animal is comprised of 25 chulios, 25 individual bones called vertebrae. The first 7 comprise the neck. The next 13 comprise the rib area. From these 13 vertebrae, 13 bones on each side of the animal extend to form the rib cage, which is in essence a cage that protects the vital organs that reside in it, the lungs and the heart. The Mishnah at the beginning of Perek El Treifas, which lists 18 defects that would render an animal a treifa, says, Nishburu roiv tzalei seho, that if most of its ribs were broken, the animal would be a treifa. The Mishnah refers to these 11 ribs, meaning the 22 from both sides, as only these larger ribs have bone marrow in them. If roiv of these 22 ribs broke, the animal is a treifa. The Gemara later presents a Messiah called the Shef Shmaitza, which lists 7 additional treifas. Among them is that even if just one of these ribs became dislocated, along with half the attached vertebrae, the animal is also a treifa. Towards the back of the spine is the hip bone, or the pelvic bone, called Etzem Ha'alya. Attached to the Etzem Ha'alya by an important ball joint called Buko De'atma, which we'll talk about a little later on, is the Etzem Ha'yerach, also referred to as the Kulis, the knee, called Arkuva Elyaina, the Shoik bone. Below that is the Arkuva Tachtoina, its ankle, and below that is the Etzem Ha'tachtoina, also referred to as the Arkuva Hanimkeres in Marosh. The Mishnah says, Behemo shechotchu ragleho mirakova ulamata shera min harakova ulamayla psula v'chein shenital tzoymois hagidin. While the Gemara presents a machlokes as to which akuva the Mishnah is referring to, one basic shita according to Rabbi Yehuda is as follows: if one of the legs was cut off below the akuva tachtayna, then the behema is still kosher. But if it was cut above the akuva tachtayna, then the animal is trefa. V'chein shenatal tzoymois hagidin. There are a group of three tendons that extend from the leg muscles of the shoik bone and converge over the arkum onto the etzem atachtayna, which are called the tzoymois hagidin. Three gidin, one thicker tendon and two thinner ones, that merge to become one thick tendon. If roiv of these gidin were cut, then the animal is trefa. Exactly which three gidin are the tzoymois hagidin is a machlokes between the Ravid and Rashi, with two shittos in Rashi. The Ravid holds that they are these three tendons that are in front of the leg. And Rashi, according to one understanding, holds that they are three gidin behind the leg, with one of them being the thick Achilles tendon. While another understanding of Rashi is that all three gidin are what make up the Achilles tendon. Also, exactly where the location of these tzoymois hagidin are on the leg, higher up or lower, is also machlekes among Amoraim and the Gemara. The nervous system. Beginning with the brain and then the spinal cord, which runs along the entire upper back of the animal, the nervous system branches out into an elaborate network of nerves that cover the entire body. It is through the spinal cord, or the shedra, that the brain sends and receives electronic impulses to and from the nerves that control all the functions of the entire body. If either the brain or the spinal cord becomes injured, they do not have the ability to repair themselves as many other parts of the body do. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Barev Chachmosoi encased them and surrounded them in solid bone to protect them from possible injury. The brain, or moyach, is of course located within the skull, the gulgoilus, a solid bone that makes up the head of the animal. The brain is also protected by the krum shel moyach, two membranes or two skin-like coverings that surround the moyach. The outer membrane is thicker and is actually attached to the skull itself, plus a thinner membrane that surrounds the brain. The first Mishnah in Perik Eilu Treifas teaches, Nokav krum shel moyach. If the inner membrane was punctured, even if the outer membrane is intact, harezu treifa, the animal is a treifa. On the other hand, if only the thicker outer membrane is punctured, the animal is still kosher. The spinal cord, the shedra, which is attached to the brain, is protected by the chulyos shedra, the spinal column, a series of interconnected bones called vertebrae. The shedra itself is protected by the chut shedra, a single membrane surrounding the shedra. If this membrane is severed or is split open more than halfway around the shedra, the animal is trefa, even if the shedra itself or the chulyos shedra were not broken. From between the chulyos shedra, thin nerves extend out, as we see here, throughout the body, carrying signals to and from the brain. Towards the back of the shedra, we have the gid hanosha, which begins as three separate nerves as they emerge from the spine, from the pi haparshiyos, and then combine to form one thick nerve called the sciatic nerve, the gid hanosha, which travels over the kaf hayorech and then down under several layers of muscle down the leg. The gid hanosha is not kosher and must be removed from the animal before one is allowed to eat the meat. And this, of course, is because of what the Malach did to Yaakov Avinu. The Torah writes, Vayiga b'kaf yirechoy, v'ateka kaf yerech yankov. And Rashi explains, Kulis hayerech atkua b'kulbasus, koriya kaf, Hashem habosar she'aleho. And that was niskake mimokem chavarta. That was moved away from its proper place. And we'll explain. The kaf hayerech, which is the top part of the thigh bone, called the kulis, or etzem hayerech, is attached to the etzem ha'alya, the pelvic or hip bone, with a socket joint and held in place by nivi, a connecting ligament. This kaf hayerech was dislocated or pulled out of its joint by the malach as he was wrestling with Yaakov Avinu. Al kein, the Torah says, lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael es hagid hanosha asher al kaf hayerech. The upper round part of the etzem hayerech is called buka de'atma, and is, as we can see here, a sphere or ball-shaped end of the bone that is inserted and attached into the socket of the etzem ha'alya, the hip bone. This socket is called duchta, The Gemara in Daf Nun Dalet says that Buka de Atma de Shav Midichta, if the Buka de Atma slipped out of its socket, Rav Masna holds that it's a trefa, while Rava holds it is kosher. However, if the nivi, the connecting ligaments, tore, the animal's trefa according to everyone. Buka de Atma de Shav Midichta is another defect mentioned in the Shef Shmaitza. This whole section of the animal is called Yorech, and is covered by several layers of muscle called Kafa Yorech. The Gidonosh is buried under several layers of muscle, which makes it very difficult and time-consuming to find, identify, and remove. Another issue surrounding the removal of the Gidonosh are the Shuman Hagid, fatty tissue which surround the Gidonosh at various locations. And while shuman, or fats, that is covered or within pieces of meat is normally kosher, nevertheless, the shuman hagid is also medrabanan. As the Braisa says, shemane shel gid muter, Yisrael kedoshim nehagu boi iser. Also complicating the gidanosh's removal is that as the gid travels down the leg, it splits up into several tiny gidim, which are called knoiknois, which are also osur medrabanan. There's also another nearby gid that is called the Gid HaChitzain, which is also Midrabonim. However, there are conflicting traditions as to the identity of this Gid HaChitzain. According to the Minig Taimon, the Gid HaChitzain is the peroneal nerve which branches off the Gidonosha, lower down near the Arkuva HaOlyona, the upper joint of the shank bone, and swings towards the front of the leg. And according to the Minig Ashkenazim, the Gid HaChitzain is the femoral nerve, as we see here, and is called hachitzain because it is closer to the outside surface of the animal's thigh. Because of these and other issues, it is our minhag today not to eat from the back part of the animal and to just sell it off to non-Jews. The lungs, the respiratory system. When an animal, or for that matter any living being, breathes air, oxygen flows into the lungs through the kono, which is also referred to as the gargaris, or in English, the windpipe or trachea. The kono or windpipe is made up of tabois, flexible cartilage rings, which begins at the throat and ends as it splits and enters the lungs. These tabois, however, only form 3/4 of the ring, which allows for its flexibility, and are closed off by a thick strip of membrane or skin called tunuch, which runs the length of the kono. The Mishnah says that if pesuka is hagargeres, that if the kono was severed or split more than halfway, hareza trefa, the animal is trefa. However, more than halfway is measured in the cholol of the kono, the inside of the kono, not from its outside, as the skin of the kono is thicker on one end than it is at the other end, as we see here. The first ring of the kono is larger than the rest and does form a complete ring, and is called the tabas hagdoila. Connected to the tabas hagdoila is the koiva, the helmet, the thyroid cartilage. It is this kono, along with the veshet, the food pipe which is located right alongside the kono, as we'll see later, that the shoichet must cut during the shechita, as we'll discuss later. The uppermost location that he may shecht is at the tabas hagdoila. If the shoichet cut on a slant, and the knife veered from the tabas hagdoila into the koiva, the shechita is not valid. The lungs themselves are called rea, and are sponge-like organs that expand and contract as the animal breathes. Their most important function is to provide oxygen to the blood, which is then pumped and distributed throughout the body by the heart. The lungs are comprised of shtei arugois, two separate rows, and a thick layer of fat runs down between these shtei arugois, which is referred to as shumen hayorid ben hu arugois, which contain in them the two most important tubes of the body, the veshet, the food pipe, and the aorta, the main blood vessel from the heart, as we'll see later. Each of these two arugois are divided into numerous sections, or lobes. The way we've seen the lungs till now is how they look hanging down inside the body. To see the numerous lobes clearly, we'll spread out the lungs as if they're laid out on a table. On the right side, at the bottom of the aruga hayamunas, is the uma yamin. And on its left side, we have the uma smoil, which is the larger of the two. The smaller sections above these umas are called una, lobes. On the right side, there are three lobes, the una arucha v'ova, long and thick, the una amtsais, the middle una, and the una elyoina hamispatzeles, the top una that splits. On the left side, there are two, the una elyoina and the una tachtoina, which is meshucha kachetz, juts out like an arrow. This side of the lungs is referred to as the Gav HaReya, which is the side facing the ribs. If we turn the lungs around to the Sat Kama, the side facing the heart, we see another lobe in the center called Ininusa Devarda, an una shaped like a rose petal. The Mishnah says, HaReya Shenikva, Oich Shechsera. If your lung was punctured, meaning it was punctured through both of its outer membranes, or one of its lobes are missing, or became dried out, then it is a trefa. The way lungs are checked is by having the lungs removed from the body and then blown up with air. The lungs are then placed into a bucket of water to see if any bubbles form on the surface of the water. If bubbles form, that indicates that some air is escaping and that there is a puncture in the lungs, and the animal is declared a trefa. Another concern regarding the reya, the lungs, is the issue of sirches, adhesions which are sticky, string-like formations on the surface of the lungs. The Gemara in Daf Mem Vav discusses the issue of kisidron and shelo kisidron. If, for instance, the una hamispatzeles becomes attached to the una amtzois through a sircha, that would be kisidron, as they are naturally near and touch each other. However, if the una hamispatzeles should slide over and become attached to the una arucha v'ovo through a sircha, that would be shelo kisidron, not in order, and it would be a trefa. According to Rashi, sirchais are assumed to be the results of a puncture in the lungs, which are covering up a hole. And therefore, if the sircha is attached to kisidron, it is able to cover up the hole well enough to allow the nekev to heal. And according to Tosfos, sirchais are natural occurrences on the lungs, and not because of a hole, and are only a problem when a sircha attaches itself to another part of the lung, which is shelo kisidron, because it is assumed that sooner or later they will separate, pulling apart the sircha, which will create a puncture. Another nafkimina between Rashi and Tosfos is a sircha tluya, a hanging sircha, that is attached to the lung only on one side. According to Rashi, it is a trefa because there is no lung near it to cover it up and strengthen the hole. And according to Tosfos, it is kosher, because there is nothing that will pull it apart to create a hole. And while most animals have a cheskes kashrus, and therefore, unless there is a reyesa, a reason to believe that there is a defect, no bedika needs to be done. However, the exception is when it comes to the lungs, which always needs to be checked because there is a miyat hamotzei, a significant minority of lungs that have sirchais and that must be checked out. This sugya of sirchais is considered among the most complex of all hirchas trefas, and it is precisely how these sirchais are dealt with that makes the difference between meat being declared simply kosher or glatt kosher, plus the very stringent tradition of the Beis Yosef Shechita. The Mishnah continues and says, Omar Pshimon, Ach Tinokev LeBeis HaSimponis. The kana, as it splits and enters the lungs, is known as the Beis HaSimponis. It then continues to branch out into numerous branches throughout the lungs, and these smaller branches are called simply Simponis. According to Pshimon, for a Nekev, for a hole to render an animal a trefa, it has to reach all the ways down into the Beis HaSimponis, even if it doesn't actually puncture the Beis HaSimponis. The circulatory system. Tucked in below the lungs is the heart. The heart continuously pumps blood throughout the body through a network of veins and arteries. These red arteries carry oxygen-rich, bright red blood from the heart to the entire body. These arteries branch out several times, becoming smaller and smaller as they carry the blood further and further from the heart and into the organs. And the blue veins are blood vessels that carry the blood back to the heart. On its return trip to the heart, the blood contains almost no oxygen and is much darker in color. The large veins that bring the blood back from the head and front legs to the heart is called the superior vena cava, and the large vein that brings the blood back from the stomach and hind legs is called the inferior vena cava. The blood then first enters the right side of the heart, which is comprised of the right atrium and the right ventricle, a large chamber on the right side of the heart, which then pumps the oxygen-poor blood from the heart into the lungs through the pulmonary artery, where the blood is oxygenated. The now oxygen-rich blood then travels back from the lungs to the left side of the heart through the pulmonary vein, where it is once again pumped out from the left ventricle through the largest artery in the body, called the aorta, onto the rest of the body. These two large arteries branch out from the aorta and travel up the neck alongside the kana and the veshit and provide blood to the head and brain. These arteries are called veridin. During shechita, which requires that most of the kana and veshit should be severed, these veridin will inevitably also be cut, which will effectively cut off the flow of blood to the brain and cause the animal to lose consciousness and die almost immediately. The heart itself is basically a thick muscle, which is divided into left and right chambers, which is separated by a thick wall of muscle. And the Mishnah says, Nokav lev lebeis chololoi. If the heart was punctured, even with just a tiny hole that reaches into the inside of one of the chambers, or if the knei halev, either the aorta or the pulmonary artery, was punctured, the animal is trefa. The digestive system. The digestive system of kosher animals is very unique and complicated and consists of not one or two, but four different stomachs and cause the animal to be malegera, to regurgitate its food. The digestive system is located in the back half of the animal and is separated from the front of the animal with the tarpish, the diaphragm, which is a thin sheet of meat spread out over the width of the animal that completely separates and seals off the front circulatory section of the animal from the back digestive section of the animal, with only a few small sealed holes that allow for the veshet and the main blood vessels to go through. Right up along the diaphragm lies the kovid, the liver, along with the gallbladder, which we'll discuss a bit later. As mentioned, all kosher animals have four stomachs that help process and digest its food. This system of stomachs are called ruminant stomachs, which will cause the animal to be malagera, to chew its cud, which of course is one of the two simonim of a kosher animal, mafreses parsa and malagera. All kosher animals live and feed on grass, and the animal's digestive system struggles to digest this grass, and is very tough and difficult to digest. Initially, when a cow grazes out in the field, it basically just rips the grass out of the ground with its front bottom teeth and swallows the grass more or less whole after just a minimal amount of chewing. This allows the animal to eat large amounts of grass in a short amount of time. The grass travels from the throat to the first stomach through the veshet, the esophagus, or the food pipe. The veshet is comprised of two skins, hapnimi lovon, vachitzoin odom. Its inner skin is white, and the outer skin is red. If it is found to be reversed, or if it has a hole that goes through both skins, the animal is trefa. Even if the hole of the red outer layer does not match up perfectly with the inner white skin, it is still trefa, since the two layers tend to shift independently as the food travels through the veshet. This first and largest of the cow's four stomachs is called keres, the rumen, which holds and stores the undigested grass for a day or two, while enzymes, bacteria that live inside the keres, break down the chemicals within the grass and softens the grass to the point where it begins to rot and decay. After a few days, the grass becomes heavy and moist and starts to slide down into the second stomach, called the beis hakoseis, the house of cups, which forms the soft grass into the small ball-shaped wads called gera, cud. It is called beis hakoseis, the house of cups, because as we can see here, it has an intricate honeycomb structure on its walls, which help form the cud shape. The cud is then pushed back up through the veshet to the cow's mouth, where the cow then chews its cud with its molars, top and bottom teeth at the back of its mouth. It is then swallowed once again, but this time the food is redirected to flow directly into the third stomach, called the hemsis, for further processing, and then from the hemsis, it finally goes into the real stomach, the keva, where its gastric juices breaks down the food until it is fully digested. Once again, if there is a hole in any of these four stomachs, the animal is trefa. However, if there was a hole in the beis hakoseis or the hemsis on the side where they naturally touch each other, then the animal is not trefa. And this same halacha applies to the dakin, the small intestines. From the keva, the now fully digested food goes into the reish mea, the duodenum, and then into the dakin, the small intestine, where the digested food is further broken down and its nutrients absorbed into the body. It then continues into the sanya divi, the casem, where it is stored before it moves on into the hadur dekanta, the colon, where the leftover water is recirculated and reabsorbed into the body, and the waste continues on onto the chalcholos, the rectum, where it is disposed of outside of the body. Chelev deraisa, that is awesome and atarit to eat, is situated here in this part of the behema. And chelev deraisa are those fats of a carbon that were offered up and burned on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, as the Pasuk says, Kol Chelev Hashem, and were a part of the Emurim. Other fats that were located in other parts of the body are called shumin and are permitted to be eaten. The Torah says, Chelev ha-machasas ha-kerev es kol ha-chelev asher al ha-kerev. The keva, which is shaped like a large bow, has chelev attached to it to its two sides. The chelev on the inside curvature of the upper part of the keva is called the lesser curvature, which is also called chelev da-ayasra, or the lesser omentum, which begins as a fatty membrane from the keva and extends upward to the liver. The outside or lower part of the keva also has fatty tissue attached to it called the greater omentum, or chelev da-kashta. The chelev da-kashta is referred to in the pasuk chelev ha-machase es ha-kerev, and is a thin-laced membrane that is like a sack which drapes loosely over the lower part of the keva and extends over the dakin, the small intestines, and the resh mea, the duodenum, and wraps around to the other side of the keres. This thin layer of fats is easily peeled off the keres and was offered on the mizbeach as part of the emurim. Another part of the emurim was the eshtei hakloyos v'sachelev asher aleihem, asher aleksolim. This pasuk is referring to the two kidneys and the fat that cover them, which is located right below the spine, and which really begin from right behind the 13th rib bone and extend all the ways back and somewhat onto its sides, its flanks. This body of fat is chelev d'oraisa. It is therefore the minhag to include the 13th rib with the back of the animal that is sold to a goy, because of the complications posed by removing the chelev that is spread out over this area, kosher. The right kidney is always a little more forward than the left kidney. And while the Mishnah in Elu Treifas doesn't mention anything about the kidneys that could cause an animal to become treifa, however, based on the Mesira of the Shef Shmaitza, if a kulya, a kidney, develops a defect which reaches into the white matter that is in the interior of the kidney, the animal is a treifa. The kovet, the liver, is located right up against the tarpish, the diaphragm, and is attached to the krum ha-tarpish, where the two main arteries go through the diaphragm, as well as under the right kidney. The liver produces many different types of enzymes that help the digestive process, along with a green liquid called bile, which is stored in the attached mora, the gallbladder. The liver has a unique feature that even if a large portion of the liver is missing, it is not a treifa, because it is able to regenerate itself as long as it has a kezias, a mokai mora, a kezias around the area where the gallbladder is attached to the liver, and the kezias b'mokai mishuchaya, as Rashi explains, either where the liver is attached right below the right kidney, or where it is attached to the tarpush, to the two main blood vessels and the veshet. The gallbladder is also attached to the small intestine, and through a bile duct delivers small amounts of bile at a time into the intestines, which helps the intestinal juices break down the food into the tiniest particles, which are then absorbed into the body. Here we see the spleen, the tchoil, which acts as a filter for blood as part of the immune system. The tchoil is thicker on one end, where it is attached to the keres, and it is called sumche, the thicker part, and the thinner part, or the opposite end, is called kulshe. An interesting feature of the tchoil is that if nitel ha-tchoil, if the spleen was completely removed, it is not a treifa, because the animal can live without a tchoil, because other organs, such as liver, can take over some of the spleen's functions. However, Omer Bavira, Mishmei Derava, Loi Shoni Elenital, Aval Nikav Treifa, if the tchol has a puncture which goes through most of its thickness on the thicker side of the tchol, it is a treifa. And Rashi explains, the Chomer Nekav Minital Lagamri, Sha'al Yedei HaNekav Hu Hoylech Moisiv Machoiv V'Acholi Rav Gufei. That is, a puncture causes the animal great pain and illness, as opposed to if it was just plain simply removed. And once again, this is based on the Mesira of the Shef Shmaitz. Shechita. The Torah in Parshas Re'eh writes, Ki yachiv Hashem alekecha es givilcha kasha dibra loch. V'amarta oichel basar, v'zavachta mibkorcha mitzoynecha ashanosan Hashem lecha, kasher tzivisicha. The Torah tells us that before a person may eat meat, v'zavachta, you must first shecht it, kasher tzivisicha, as I have commanded you. And as Rashi says, that lomadnu sheyesh tzivu bezvicha heich yishchet vehein hilchos shchita shenemru l'moshe miSinai. And as Rashi explains in Masechtas Chum, sharei b'Torah lo motzinu shetzivahu. Nowhere in the Torah do we find any halachos of how to shecht. The halachos that we do have is through our Masechta, handed down halacha l'moshe miSinai, and they are shia, drusa, chaloda, hagrama, and ikur. And the Gemara in Daf Chav Zayin adds that besides these five, shechita b'tzavor name gemara, the very fact that shechita must be performed on an animal's neck is also a halacha l'moshe miSinai. And Tanya, Rabbi Omer, malamed shenitztava Moshe al aveshet v'alakono, v'alroiv echad ba'oif, v'alroiv shnayim v'bheima. Before a shochet performs shechita, the minig is that the knife that he uses is checked by the shochet himself, as well as by one or two other mumchim, specialists. The knife is checked to make sure that there are no pegimos, nicks, because even the slightest nick puzzles the shechita. And this psul is because of ikur, as the knife would tear at the flesh as opposed to slice or cut it smoothly. The shochet would check the knife by running his nail carefully along the extremely sharp tip of the knife, first backward, then forward, concentrating that his nail should not get snagged on any pagam. He would then do this two more times with his finger or knife angled one way and then the other way. The shechita must be done by sliding the knife back and forth on the front of the neck. Therefore, the knife must be at least twice the width of the animal's neck, so that the shochet has enough room to cut the neck with a forward and backward motion. If, however, he cuts the neck by just pressing down without sliding the knife back and forth, the shechita is possible because of drusa. Also, he must be careful not to pause in the middle while shechting, as that would passel the shechita because of shia. He must also be careful to cut within the correct area of the neck, not to veer or angle the cut above or below the proper location, as that would passel the shechita because of hagroma, angling the cut out of the proper location. And the halacha of chaloda, which means doing an action that would cause the knife to be hidden or buried in the flesh. In practical terms, this refers to not to shecht the animal by first stabbing the knife into the neck and then cutting the two simonim from the inside out. L'chatchila, the complete kana and veshet should be cut through. However, l'alocha l'moshe miSinai is that even a roiv echad ba'oif or roiv shnai b'behema is also kosher. If the shechita was determined to be shloi kedin, not correctly done, the behema becomes a nevela, not a treifa. And the difference between them is that a nevela, which in general is an animal that died without proper shechita, is not only osher ba'achila, but is also metama b'magu b'masa, meaning that a person that either touches the animal or carries it is tamei tumas erev. However, on the other hand, a kosher animal that was geshachtim properly, but was only during the bedika found to have a treifa, while this is of course not allowed to be eaten, it is not metame. Another more practical difference between them is that sofek b'shechita osur. If there is a sofek if the shechita was performed properly, the animal is declared an avela. However, sofek b'treifa is b'teres. If after shechita a defect was noticed, that is korev leheter, in other words, very likely to have happened after shechita, even though they're not 100% sure, it is kosher. After shechita, the animal must have bedika to determine that the animal is not a treifa. And while most animals have a cheskes kashrus, and would therefore not need to go through a bedika, other than the lungs, as we discussed earlier, however, if a reisa exists, in other words, if there are signs on the animal that there might be a defect, a bedika must be done. Derech klal, an animal that is deemed to be a treifa, is because it has an injury or defect that will cause it to die within the year. And while there could be any number of such defects in an animal, only the ones enumerated by Chazal will cause it to become a treifa. The Mishnah in Perek Er L'Treifas lists 18 defects which would render an animal a treifa. And the Gemara mentions numerous others, many of which we've shown earlier in this presentation. In general, all of them basically fall into the following 8 categories. And its acronym is Don Chanak Nefesh. Dalet, Drusa. If a wild animal jumped the behema with its claws or nails. Nun, Nekuva. If certain organs are punctured. Ches, Chesera. If certain organs were missing from birth. Nun, Netila. if certain organs were removed, kuf, kriya, if certain parts of the behema were ripped, nun, nefila, if the animal fell in such a way that caused it risuk avrim, which basically means a concussion of an organ, hey, psuka, if certain limbs were cut off, and shin, shvura, if certain bones or limbs broke. It is said of the Chassam Sofer and many other gedolim of the previous generations that they would fast before beginning to learn Masechtas Chulin because of its difficulties and its significance. And while we barely touch the tip of this vast Masechta, it's our sincere hope that we have, Be'ezus Hashem, lifted ever so slightly the veil of confusion over this subject. Yashar koach for listening, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.